Greet you this morning in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful to be in God's house once again on the Lord's Day. We are glad when they say unto us, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." As we come this morning with thankful hearts, we each and every one have been blessed. And I would like this morning, before we go into the Word of God, to sing a song concerning the wonderful truth that we are all so blessed. We are so blessed. So blessed, as we often sing the hymn, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." And there's no way, living in this life, that we could count every blessing that comes from God's hands. This morning, we'll turn to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 40. The king of Israel, David, who was the sweet psalmist of Israel, he often spoke as if it were Christ speaking. And Psalm chapter 40 is one of these messianic psalms, psalms that speak about the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is David writing the psalm. We're going to begin by reading verses 6 through 10, Psalm chapter 40. And I would entitle our message this morning, "Lo, I Come." Because in verse 7, that's a quote, concerning the coming of Jesus, he said, "Lo, I come." Psalm 40, 6 through 10. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. but rather I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you now for the privilege of worship, prayer, of singing hymns to thy holy name. We thank you, Lord, for this season of the year where our heart turns to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that were it not for his birth, there could not have been his death, his burial, and most importantly, his resurrection that sealed our redemption through his blood on Calvary's cross. We thank you for each one here this morning. We pray for our members and friends who are unable to be with us. We pray for our nation, our nation's leaders, and our military personnel wherever they are. Now, Father, forgive us of our many sins, faults, and failures, and help us to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you begin looking at Psalm chapter 40, you find in the first five verses David's testimony of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for his deliverance in his own life. Many of the Psalms, David praises God for delivering him out of the pitfalls in the life in which we live. For he said in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, most of the time, we find it difficult to wait, don't we? One thing we can't stand is waiting, for example, in a doctor's office. It takes forever, doesn't it? Or wherever we may go and have to wait, it seems like an eternity. But David said, I waited patiently. Now, there's a difference between waiting anxiously and waiting patiently. David waited patiently. And that's how you and I are to wait. And it says, and the Lord, he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Isn't that a wonderful thought and truth to know that when we wait upon the Lord, he is inclined to the cries of our heart, and he hears our cry. He says in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and also established my goings. Now, some scholars believe that even these first verses of Psalm 40 also speak concerning Jesus Christ. David, not only speaking about his own experience with the Lord, but prophetically, it speaks of Jesus himself as if Jesus were speaking. We find when Jesus came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, made under the law, as Paul says in Galatians, to redeem those who were under the law. And he lived a perfect, sinless life for some 33 years upon the earth. And then he came and went to fulfill his ultimate mission, when she says in our text in verses 7 and 8, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, in all of the Bible, it is written concerning Jesus Christ, because Jesus delighted to do the will of his heavenly Father. And the will of his heavenly Father was that he would come and save his people from their sins. And we can see Jesus himself and his own experience. When Jesus gave up his life freely on the cross of Calvary, he said in the Gospel of John chapter 10, and verse 18. No man takes my life from me, but he said, rather, I freely lay down my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up again. But we find that God the Father raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And we can think of verse 2 as Jesus' testimony of God his Father bringing him up from the grave, from death, in his resurrection. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, the grave, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. So there is a duality in the psalm. It speaks first of David himself, David speaking about his experience with the Lord, but second, it also speaks prophetically concerning Jesus Christ coming. He says in verse 3 that he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now we have that experience today because we have been born again by the Holy Spirit. God has placed a new song within your heart and mine that we may, as it says, even praise unto our God. Remember, the prophet Ezekiel says that he would take out the stony heart and give us an heart of flesh. So we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ indwelling our lives and our heart today, and the new song is in our heart, and then it proceeds forth out of our mouth. And what a glorious thing that is. Remember, Paul in Ephesians says that we would sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs unto Him. A new song. It is the song of the redeemed. It is the song of Psalms 107. 107 verse 1. Let me read that one. Psalm 107. He says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's the song of the redeemed. He goes on then to say, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When David expressed his song of praise to the Lord, those around him would see it and they would be encouraged and they also would praise the Lord. And that's how we're to be in our witness for Jesus. We are to, by the way we live, and also by what we say, to show forth the praises of Him who has set us free from death and sin. And when we do that, it will encourage those around us in such a way that they also will see it and fear the Lord and shall trust in the Lord. And then verse 4, we find a beatitude. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. It is best that we make the Lord our trust. I mentioned several times recently, Psalms 118:8, better to put confidence in the Lord than to put trust in man. We put our confidence and our trust in the Lord, not in man. And when we do that, we are blessed. He says in verse 5, many, O Lord our God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Here in verse 5, we see David praising the Lord for his blessings toward him. and counting our many blessings in thanksgiving. He says, "Many, O Lord, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts that are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. For if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And see what the Lord hath done. And I believe that is with the verse that inspired that hymn. Count our many blessings. And then in our text, beginning in verses 6 through 10, we find David prophetically speaking concerning the coming of Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus would make for the sins of his children. Now, he starts out with a strange statement when he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire." Now, wait a minute. I thought God, through Moses, ordained that the children of Israel, that they were to offer sacrifices unto the Lord their God. Yes. Yes, they were. God did ordain the animal sacrifices of the law He gave through Moses. But in the process of years and time, they often began to go through the motions of worship, and their heart was not in it. They often would turn away from God in the worship of false idols and false gods. But then for a show of religion, they would offer their sacrifices to the Lord. But God was never pleased with that kind of offering because their heart was not right with God. For example, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Let's show you this in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, we find, well, actually beginning in verse 11 of chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" They would compensate for their evil deeds with a multitude of sacrifices, saith the Lord. The Lord says, "I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts." And the Lord says that I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. "When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" God told him, "Bring no more vain or empty, meaningless oblations. Incense," he says, "is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting." Your new moons, your appointed feasts, God said, "My soul hates. They are a trouble to me, and I am weary to bear them." So, the Lord was not pleased with those sacrifices. So He said, "Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire." Now look at the next phrase. "Mine ears hast thou opened." This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ as God's servant, obedient unto death. And it comes from the law of Moses in the book of Exodus. Looking with me in Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21, you find the law concerning the perpetual servant. And Jesus was God the Father's perpetual servant. He came to do the will of God, to save His people from their sin. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the 7th year he shall go out free for nothing. If he came out by himself, he shall go out by himself. And if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. But if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, then the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he, the servant, shall go out by himself. But look at verses 5 and 6. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door or doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This was known as the law of the perpetual servant. He could go out free in the 7th year. But if his master had given him a wife, and they had children, they had to stay with the master. But if that servant was so committed to that master, and especially to his wife and children, he could commit himself to the master for life. And the outward symbol of that commitment was that his ear would be bored through with an awl as a symbol of his lifelong commitment to the master. Jesus Christ is Jehovah's servant, and he is for eternity committed to the will of his Father in heaven and to his bride, the church. We, his people, we are the heavenly wife, the heavenly bride of Christ. And we are his children. We are married to him. And so, Jesus committed himself in that way. Isaiah also brought it to light in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Isaiah 42, 1, where it says, Behold, my servant. God says, Jesus is my servant. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold. He calls him mine elect, mine chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, the Holy Spirit upon Jesus Christ, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That would be you and me today. And so we find, he says, mine ears hast thou opened, and burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, For I delight to do thy will, O my God. Jesus delighted to do the will of his heavenly Father. In the Gospel of John, for example, in chapter 4 and verse 34, he said unto the woman at Jacob's well, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish His work. And that's the purpose for which Jesus came. And then He says in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 38, John 6 and 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And so that speaks concerning the coming of Jesus, that He would go to the cross and die for our sins, and that He would be raised from the dead, and that one day He will come back and raise us up to be with Him throughout all eternity. And so we find, He says, I delight to do Your will. And He says, Thy law is within my heart. Of course, Jesus coming in the flesh, He was God manifest in the flesh. Certainly, the law of God was in the heart of Jesus. His law is also to be in your heart and in my heart today. The Apostle Paul makes reference today that when we are born again, that we have the law written in our own heart, and not on tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of our heart. And so we have God's law in our heart today. In another psalm, David said, "Thy law, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Now, David again, speaking of himself, but also prophetically speaking of Jesus, in verses 9 and 10, David says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest." David was a great witness for God. And he was an inspiration to those around him. But we find that Jesus Himself also, in the 3.5 years of His earthly ministry, He went all around Galilee and Judea and Samaria and all those places, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus fulfilling that prophecy. In Luke chapter 4, notice this. He went to the synagogue to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. And in Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, "And He, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where He'd been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up for to read. And there was delivered to Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it's written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And He said, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" That He preached the gospel. And of course, Jesus, God in the flesh, was the greatest gospel minister who ever lived. He says, "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, that Lord You knowest. I have not hid Your righteousness in my heart alone." Yes, We are to have God's righteousness within our heart, but we are not to hide it there in secret. It is to shine forth out from us that others around us may see. For he says, I have declared your faithfulness, your salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. The old children's hymn says, hide your light under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And so don't conceal His righteousness in your heart alone, but rather let it shine forth that others may see His truth in the great congregation. You know, the writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, gives the proof that our text this morning concerns the coming of Jesus Christ. That it was not just David speaking there. For in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer speaks about the law had a shadow of good things to come, but not it wasn't the very image of those things. And we find where he says in verse 4 that it was not possible that the blood of bulls, of goats, could take away our sin. They were only a foreshadow of the coming of Jesus, who is the only one who could take away our sins. For he says in Hebrews then, that was verse 4, chapter 10, and then he says, beginning verse 5, wherefore, when he comes into the world, when Jesus was born as a baby in the manger in Bethlehem of Judea, when he was born on that first Christmas day, wherefore, when he comes into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So now we find that God prepared a perfect human body for Jesus to live in burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then he said, lo, I come, and it's the prophecy of Psalm chapter 40. In the volume of the book, it is written, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24. You remember after his resurrection, he appeared to the two disciples who were traveling on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts were heavy. Their hearts were heavy. And it says, in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Then he vanished out of their sight. And then he said to his disciples in Luke 24 and 44, he said unto them, these are the words. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you on the earth, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, that he fulfilled everything that was written in the volume of the book. The law, the Psalms, the prophets. He says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Hebrews chapter 10. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, the everlasting covenant. He says, by the which will we today are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Because priests stand daily to offer all the time sacrifices that can never take away sins. But, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Lo, Jesus came to do the Father's will, that he would save us from our sins by the sacrifice of himself. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.